Welcome back to another episode of the Gloom Podcast. Got a lot on our minds. I'm your host, Kels, and I got a very special episode today. It's one that if you're a filmmaker, if you're a photographer, if you're in the creative sphere, you always kind of get this question asked, and that's a question about gear. What gear are you using? What's in your bag? And I just want to start by saying, if you think this episode is going to be about me just telling you what to buy, it's not. So I want to start with that, you know, keep the level playing field of what you expect. And hopefully if you stick around and continue to listen, you'll gain some insight. You'll have a little bit of knowledge about what I've done, some mistakes I've made, and just kind of approach it in your own way. And hopefully it'll help somebody. So nowadays, cameras do a ton. It's crazy the capabilities of cameras just from like the basic DSLRs and even iPhones and Samsung Galaxies. The abilities are there. There's learning curves behind everything, but you can make anything work. And I just really want to like drill that into your brain. There's people that are making, you know, amazing projects on iPhones or Samsungs. So it depends on how much you want to really like learn what you have at your disposal, the budget that you're really trying to stick within, whether you can get a camera, whether you can get a camera and a lens, a kit lens to start out with. There's so many options nowadays that you can always upgrade, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And the fact that, you know, every year, as soon as you buy something, it's already outdated. So you kind of have to get in the mindset of what's going to work for you, what's the right tool for you to use, because just like any other profession, you know, these are tools that you have at your disposal. There's always the option of renting, you know, starting to rent a camera or different cameras, get a feel for what you need, get a feel for what you like. Every camera brand has great products. And I know people shit on certain brands, but it really, if you enjoy a brand, you know, don't let somebody belittle you because it's a certain type. Like, that shit is just petty. And I know a lot of times it's just jokingly, but there's some people who will like stick behind this certain camera brand is like the best. And if it's not for you, it's not for you. You just gotta, you know, roll with the punches of people saying stuff about what you own or what you're renting, and use that camera, use that equipment to the best of your ability to get the best work that you can. I've personally owned most brands. I've gone through camera brands and I don't technically hold an allegiance. I just kind of go off of what I feel like is best for me in the moment that I'm looking to purchase something. So if I want to switch down the line and, you know, go to a different camera brand, I don't feel that like need to stick with some certain brand. I mean, unless somebody wants to start paying me, you know, then I'll stick with it. But for now, I don't have that mindset of sticking with one particular brand if I know something else will help me in the future become a better filmmaker. And at the end of the day, these are just tools, and tools that we use to make ourselves better filmmakers or photographers, but it's all really within ourselves. It's our eye that's figuring out what shot we like. It's our eye and our minds that are putting these stories together, whether it's a photography concept that, you know, culminates a cinematic approach, or whether it's an actual film where we're, you know, shooting different angles and making this one-of-a-kind work. We're the minds behind it, and these tools help us get to what we vision. But if you don't learn these tools, then what are they going to do for you, you know? So at the end of the day, the approach that we use and how many hours we take to continue to learn and get a feel for it and, you know, put the hours into just going out and shooting stuff, like that's very important. Once you get whatever equipment you get, is to start to learn it, put time and energy into going out in the field and shooting with it, going out and taking photos, whatever you're buying it for, just really put it to work. Even if you don't have, like, you know, the projects that you want at hand, it's important to continue to use it, to learn it, to find new ways to make it work for you, to just, you know, when that time comes when you're getting bigger projects, you'll know this camera like the back of your hand. You don't seem, you know, anxious to use it. Let's say you get booked for a wedding. If you're there and you're fumbling around with your camera, you don't know the settings right, it's gonna look bad on you. You're gonna develop a reputation that, like, I hired this person and the photos didn't come out the way I was hoping for. If you get the confidence behind the tool that you're using, the camera, you learn the settings, you know, you're quickly changing what you need to, lenses, lighting in the appropriate spots, then that's when you start to, you know, really just feel comfortable. There's really nothing worse than when you're in the field and you're questioning your own abilities, or you're questioning if you're getting the right shot, or you're questioning, is this blurry? Is this clean? Am I getting clean audio? Am I getting clean, just clean shots? Like that's the worst case scenario, is being actually in the field thinking that, because then when you get home, you're anxious on your way home. You're anxious to dump the footage. You're anxious to look at it. And it's just important to start to develop that confidence behind, you know, what you can produce. And that'll just help you in the long run. I know as a beginner, there's a lot of things you have to learn. We've all been there. We all put the time in, 10,000 hours or more, until you're considered a master at your craft. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. You know, certain people learn things quicker, and that's okay. If somebody comes in and starts to shoot amazing work a couple months in, it's important not to judge yourself against them, because some people just have a different eye. They have a different creativity that's attached to them. They can work with the equipment that they have maybe a little better. And that's fine to, you know, not everybody's going to be the best at it. You know, it takes the learning aspect of it to continue to build your confidence. And eventually you'll get where you want to be if you continue down this path. If you want to do it just as a hobby and just, you know, get basics, there's nothing wrong with that. And truthfully, sometimes you might get a camera as a hobby and you fall in love with it and it becomes your career. I've seen a lot of people who have done that, especially during the pandemic. You know, they were stuck at home. They didn't know what to do. They bought a camera and they just started shooting. And since then, you know, they've blown up. Their work is amazing. And it's just inspiring to see when people do that, because that just shows that it's within people. It's within you as a creator. You know, you can do this. And that's why, like, you know, the question of gear is tough to approach, because everybody's different. There's tons of different variables that might change how one camera is good for somebody and that same camera is not the best for somebody else. And that's okay. A brand might not be for you. You have to just look past what people say. You have to develop a thick skin, and you have to be willing to fail, but in a way where you're not losing money. Because if you're buying a camera and then you're not using it, when you try to resell it, or when you try to sell it to one of these companies that's going to resell it, you're not going to get the same amount of money that you paid for it. In that way, you're losing out on money they could have spent on maybe like another lens, or on more batteries in case you're out at shoots and you need that. So there's a lot of things you have to think about when you're buying gear. There's tons of tutorials, and unfortunately, the tutorials are going to be based on that person's opinion. So you can go to one person's video and it'll say, oh, this camera's the best. This camera's amazing. This camera's everything you want in a photography camera. Go buy it. And then you go to somebody else's page and it's like, this camera's the worst. I hated it. Don't buy it. And it's like, who do you use, and whose opinion do you trust? And at the end of the day, you kind of have to go with your own opinions on the matter, because that camera might be the best for you, or that camera might not be the best for you. And as soon as you buy something nowadays, it's like outdated already. You know, you buy it and a month later, the new version comes out and you're kicking yourself. That's a great thing about like the hybrid cameras nowadays, or the DSLRs that just do so much. You can still work within the parameters of what you got. Like, yeah, maybe you might not have the slowest motion because the new model has that, but you can still aim to use what you have, make quality work, because the quality work is going to get you new clients. It's going to get you seen. It's going to get people talking about you. And then when the time's right, then you can think about like upgrading, can think about getting new things that'll continue your journey along. But if you get the clients behind you first, then, you know, everything else kind of starts to come. I mean, one thing I'll say, because this is what I've done, and if you know, you know, B&H Deal Zone has been both a blessing and a curse to my bank account. because you get things that are on sale, but you also, you know, if you don't have a need for it, at times I feel like I was just buying stuff because it went on sale. And you have to kind of gauge what you need. Is this purchase gonna help me in the future, whether it's like the near future or the long future? It's important to not just buy stuff because it's there. If you know there's going to be no use of it, because then you just start to collect tons of things that you don't need. And eventually, if you have to move, you know, it becomes a hassle transporting all of this equipment, because certain pieces of equipment, they take up space. C-stands are huge. You have to have the room in wherever you're living as well. Or if you want to, you know, get like a storage unit or something, those are also things you have to take into account. You can't just buy 800 C-stands because, you know, they're on sale and then just get them at your house. And you're like, oh, crap, where am I going to put these? Like, I don't have a studio right now. I can't really house these anywhere. So why did I buy this? It's important to hash out all of the variables, all of the ways this could make you better, all the ways it could make you worse. If you're buying something and your bank account is not in the best shape, then like, what are you going to do? Are you going to be able to go out and shoot something and make the money you need to, you know, get your bank account back to where it needs to be? Or is this purchase right now making sense for you in the long run? I feel like at times I kind of just wanted something more than I needed it, and so I bought it. It's good to really hash out all of those little variables to see if it's really a necessary at this moment in time, or if it's something that you're just, you know, more of a want, and then you'll use it for a little bit and then it'll get pushed to the side. Because you'll see some of these filmmakers, they'll tell you, you know, this piece of equipment was good for this amount of time, and then I never used it again. Something, you know, looked really exciting at first and then didn't really have practical use. The only thing I just really, really want to drill into your minds is the gear doesn't make the filmmaker makes the gear. And everything that you buy and everything you touch is really a culmination of what you know, what you learn, what you can learn, and what's inside of you, because the tools are just there to enhance what you already know. And it's important to know that, because yes, a better camera theoretically could help you become a better filmmaker. But again, like I've had some experiences, it's not always the case. You have to make sure that camera fits who you are, fits your needs, fits whatever, you know, you're planning to do. There's other routes besides just buying something. You can rent, you can hire cinematographers who have the knowledge. It really just depends on like what your budget restraints are, what you are trying to accomplish, who you know. Sometimes you can pull in some favors if you have this idea in your mind that you know will, you know, help all parties involved. Sometimes you can pull in that favor and, you know, whether it's for free, for the low, or, you know, a collaboration aspect of it, because there's people who are willing to work if they think that project can amount to something. And that's important to know, because especially if somebody has like a piece of equipment that you would love to have, or you're thinking about buying, if you can work with them and just be like, hey, can I just get like one or two? You never know until you ask. And it's important to keep all options open, to find new ways to get to where you want, you know, like don't take advantage of people. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's just work together. In our profession, in our field, that's the only way it's going to work. There are one-man crews, obviously. There's people who prefer to do it alone. There's people who just at this moment, that's the only thing they can do. But overall, filmmaking, photography is a collaborative experience. It's people coming together to make art and to put art into this world. I feel like most photographers or filmmakers love to talk about their gear. But there's one way where they feel slighted when it's asked as, what camera do you use? Because it's an interesting way to approach the knowledge that you want to acquire, because it almost feels like a slight that, like, you know, you're demeaning the photographer, even if it's not your intention. It's almost like, oh, once I get this camera, I can do exactly what that photographer did. And it's not the years, the experience, you know, the wear and tear on the actual gear that the photographer has used to put in the hours to get photos that they get, or the wear and tear on their body, you know, just going on a hike, a 14-mile hike to get like this one pristine shot of a lake surrounded by beautiful mountains. So knowing the gear as a photographer, some people will just answer it outright. They won't feel no way about it, but you kind of have to go off, like, if you're following a photographer and you see that somebody asks that question and they don't respond well to it, then I would try to at least pull them over to the side or like ask a question in their DMs, like, hey, I'm looking to get into photography. Like, what cameras can you suggest? How do you go about like shoots? I think it would be more receptive if you ask them about how they shoot rather than like what they're shooting on. I don't know. It just makes a lot of photographers cringe, and it's just something to think about when you're having those questions and wanting to know about the gear that a photographer uses. It's important not to, like, you know, make them feel a certain way, because then they might not be as receptive to give you the information that you're looking for. Whereas if you're, you know, if you're just asking different questions, phrasing it differently, I think a lot of people would be more receptive to answering the question and to giving you their insight and their experiences. Obviously, there's going to be the people who gatekeep and who don't want to tell you anything. And I feel like I've never been in the realm of gatekeeping. I do enjoy talking about it, but I just haven't in the past. And that's why I wanted to kind of get on here, talk about some of the gear I've used, even though I haven't even really explained what I use. So maybe I'll just dive into that before ending this episode. I actually started on a Canon 7D, and I love that camera. That camera was such a wonderful, it was my pride and joy I think I used it for 7-8 years. It was the longest camera that I've had to date. And I bought it in 2011, and I used it for my first shoots, my first music videos. I feel like my problem has always been an element of stabilization as far as video goes. So there was times when I didn't get the cleanest footage on that either. And to this date, I feel like my handheld movements aren't the best as other people. So I've always felt like I needed something else, like a tripod or like a stabilizer. And I've gone down the road of buying too many stabilizers that haven't fit my needs and haven't worked properly. I just got 3 Manfrotto stabilizers that I had to send back because an element of their wasn't working. I had a Zion crane that doesn't connect to the app. So I don't know. It's just been a hard lesson to dump money into things that haven't worked properly. I will say right now, the Manfrotto is very helpful with sending it back to them sending me new ones, and also, you know, just realizing that like there might have been issues with this group of stabilizers. So they just, you know, they were very accommodating and sent me my money back. So that's at least like something. I don't want to like demean them and put the brand down because I love Manfrotto. I don't want them, you know, other people to, you know, feel some kind of way and not buy things from them. But maybe do some research on the actual stabilizers so that way you can, you know, not have the hassle and the problems that I've had. Yeah, so after the Canon, I went to Nikon, which I know a lot of people will ooh and ah about and, like, you know, demean because Nikon gets the shit end of the stick. But I had the D850, and I loved that camera until I had bought a new camera strap for it, and I had screwed it on the bottom mount, and it's one where it hangs down by your side, and I was very excited to use it, and I was using it at my old college, OCC. I was taking photos of like a class for the professor there, and lo and behold, somehow it unscrewed, and all it did was bounce off of the pavement, and it's just weird because like the only thing that looked wrong with it was like the little dial had the piece of plastic sticking up, so I didn't think anything of it. It got to a point where my warranty was coming close to an end, so I was like, let me just get this fixed before that warranty, you know, goes kaput. So I brought it back to Best Buy. Shout out Best Buy, the Geek Squad, and their warranty program is top notch. It's the best that I've been in contact with. So with that being said, they sent it out. It was like a week later. And they said they were going to just refund me the amount for the camera because I guess there was stuff internally that I didn't realize that was really bad. So I used this camera for a good portion of time where I guess the insides weren't up to what it should have been. So it was nice to have that. And then I used that money to buy the Nikon Z6II. And that was more because I liked the mirrorless aspect of it. I liked how compact it was as a camera. It was nice and small. It still had the video capabilities that I loved. And yeah, it was a really good camera. It was a nice hybrid. And I enjoyed it using it for the time period I had it. Eventually, I upgraded from that to what I have now, which is a Canon R5C. It's a hybrid, but I feel like it's more true to a hybrid because the video and the photography are totally separate. You know, other cameras, when you're doing video, you could still take a still, but this one, it's just like, you have to be on photo mode or you have to be on video mode. And I do kind of like it. It takes some time to turn off and turn back on. I don't know. I feel like the colors are amazing. I love Canon colors. I feel like the stabilization could be better. I think, and this is just me personally saying this out there, I think Sony has gotten it right with image stability. And I was looking between Canon and Sony for this camera, but I don't know. There was a couple things that drove me to get this one and also ended up going on sale right when I needed to get a camera. So that helped me out. And so far, I feel like for me personally, when I'm shooting handheld, there's still some jarring things that I feel like it's internally within me and how my hands are, and I just might shake a little bit more. So that's, you know, something to account if you feel like your hands are not as steady, to think about when you're buying a camera, to think about when you're testing out a camera, like what movements am I going to be doing if I'm doing a handheld, and what does the footage look like? Is it jarring? Is it something I won't be able to edit? And for me, I feel like once I get this on the new stabilizer that I just got, it's going to be a beast, and I'm very excited to move forward and to create the art that I really want to, because at the end of the day, this is what I love to do, and I do want to do it at the best of my abilities. So obviously I have a very good camera, and now I have a very good stabilizer, and now I just want to, you know, use those to the best of my ability. And I have now the confidence that the footage that I'm going to get is going to be how my brain sees it. Because if those two things don't align, I get a little bit discouraged. And that's just something that's like in my own head. And that's something that I have to deal with. And that's, if you have the same thought process, or if you have the same, like, if we're on the same brain wave, then it's just something to think about to especially if you're editing your own footage, you know. It's tough when you're getting something in the field and then you go and put it on your computer and it's totally blown up, and you know, you might have missed something in the focusing aspect of it, or the movements are a lot more amplified when it's, you know, when it's on a bigger screen. So that's something to think about, because yeah, when you're shooting handheld on this little screen, it might look amazing, and then you blow it back up and it's like, oh, those movements are too much. Like, I was shaking like crazy. I don't like this footage. And that's what a lot of times makes us not want to use the footage, not want to use a camera, and we discourage ourselves and we're like, oh, I'm not a good filmmaker. I'm not a good, this art that I'm putting out there is not to the best of my abilities, and maybe this isn't for me. We creep into that like bad mindset. We creep into that self-doubt. And if you can find something that works for you, where you can create the art that you want to do, then, you know, more power to you. And that's important to try to find as soon as possible, so you're not getting into that mindset of, oh, this isn't for me, or, oh, I'm a crappy whatever. You know, you don't want to start to have that self-talk early on in your career. You want to start to build those routines and build the confidence in yourself to be able to produce whatever you want. And that's when you start to feel more free as a photographer, as a videographer, as a filmmaker. It's important, like I said, to get that drilled into your mind as quick as possible. Once you have that confidence, it's just about, you know, putting those visions to life and making quality work that you can be proud of. And that's something that I think all of us as filmmakers strive for. All of us as photographers strive to have that picture that's iconic and that can stand the testament of time. The more research you do, the more hands-on experience you get with certain equipment, then I feel like it gets easier over time. You know, you're putting in those hours, you're putting in the effort. There's going to be roadblocks with equipment. There's going to be financial strains. And it's always good to feel the butterflies, you know, to feel nervous about something. But I feel like, you know, that's just like the human nature behind it. Once you start to get into the actual shoots, you know what you're looking for. You know, the shots will start to come and those nerves will, you know, will be relieved fairly quickly if you have the confidence in yourself. You know, this is just a little bit longer episode trying to, you know, change your mindset on gear. I don't even know if it was changing your mindset, but just giving you some of my experiences, and hopefully it'll help you to make better choices so you're not wasting money on things you don't need or things that are not for you. And you really just like get that mindset of like, let me find that right camera if I'm looking to purchase it, or let me rent some things before I'm buying it. I have some extra cash over here that I can, you know, put towards that. And then I also have this money, you know, dedicated to a camera or to lights or to, you know, audio. But it's just important to find something that you're totally comfortable with, that you can learn and grow with. And that's how I'm going to end this episode. So I just hope that you're able to find the right gear for yourselves. I hope that, you know, you don't end up wasting money and feeling down on yourself and like, I could have done things better. I hope that, you know, this gave you a little insight and you can approach it in a different way and just really find what you need. Entertainment will be the thing that will inspire us over the next couple of years. Small-time creatives will be thrust into the spotlight because of the Hollywood strike, and entertainment will still go on. I think it's just going to be other forms of it, whether it's smaller, you know, independent films, or, you know, creatives like us who are putting out music videos, putting out short films, putting out comedy videos, just little TikTok segments, or if something else comes in the next couple of years, that's a different platform. It's just important to continue to make what you want, use what you have at your disposal to make quality work, and try to work within the restraints that you have. If there's monetary restraints, you know, just go out and shoot something in the time that you have available. Just make art. That's what I'm going to end it on. Make art. And I appreciate you being here. If you lasted this long, then I'm just really happy. I thank you for being on this episode of Gloom, listening to me speak, trying to, you know, give you some advice. And I look forward to next episode. And I just hope you're having a great day wherever you are. Hope you're having a good week. Hope you're staying blessed. And just want to thank you for being here. So, peace.